Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 2, and your speaker is Clint Byers.
Well, I didn't think I owed you money, but you might hit me up after that one. And I don't have a TV show, but I got the microphone. So here we go. Now, as Jim said, for those of you that don't know, I've still got my name tag on. You're probably wondering, who's that guy? I was here. My wife, Sarah, is up front here. Everybody wave at her. We moved here in about, these are the brightest lights I've ever seen in my life. I feel like the moon landing is happening or something. We moved here in about 2000, and we actually bought a house right across the street. So I got to, eventually when I was working here and going to school, I got to walk to work, walk to church, walk to school, walk to youth group. And sometimes I'd walk home and I'd think, man, I am at that place all the time. So it's good to be back here. And I was thinking about getting a preaching, and I'm looking around. I keep seeing all these faces. And I'm thinking, man, let's forget this preaching stuff. Let's just hang out and chat. You're right. Because this foolishness preaching stuff is just so that you'll look at Jesus, right? I mean, that's what we're here for, Jesus. I even got some people from our church up here. I don't want to hold it up. You guys turn it up. Follow me. Can I hold it here, or do I need to lift it up? Oh, man. Okay. Okay, so we have Forward Church, which is in Noonan, Georgia, which is just south of Atlanta. And like I said, we got a couple people here with us to cheer me on. So if nobody says amen, at least I know Kopi and Sam will. But we're here, like Jim said, because this ministry is far-reaching. You know, this ministry has, you think back to when Jim first started, I think I might have been in diapers. I don't even know if I was born yet, but. You gotta give it to him a little bit. My wife's mad at me. I'm supposed to preach, aren't I? So you think back when this message, it's like they'd throw rocks at you, right, for even thinking about this stuff or even saying it out loud. Now there are people that criticize the ones that pioneered this stuff, and then there's others that say, no, you're not saying it right. I'm saying it right. We're saying it right. Our camp's got it right. Our camp's got it right. Can we please just stop? Can we please just rejoice that Jesus is being preached and watch the gospel grow? Because that's what we want. We want to see the kingdom continually increase. Now, there may be some rough patches in between now and then, but you know what? God is bigger than all of that stuff. God is able to protect you and hold you in his wings and keep you safe and coast you right on through the storm. Amen? So I want to start in Galatians 4:4 because to me, we're talking about the most important things. I'm starting here. I think knowing who we are in Christ is probably, I mean, for me, there's not much else more important. You have to know who you are in Jesus. You have to know what he's done for you before you ever even think about living toward this world. Otherwise, you're trying to figure out how to get all this stuff to work rather than just living in it. And that's my point tonight, is we're just going to live in what he's accomplished and experience what he has done for us and quit trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong and let the Holy Spirit do his job and preach the gospel. So Galatians 4:4. Is this a good height here? Yes, okay. Galatians 4:4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship, because we are his sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. Now, do you see yourself that way? See, because here's what happened. God created us. And it was perfect. And he wanted us to have every benefit that he had. There was no requirements. He said, here you go. He made a planet for two naked people. If that's not the definition of provision, I don't know what is. I mean, it just is, right? We think, God, I don't know if God can handle this. He made a planet for two people. That's pretty big. Do you think they would ever have needed that in their lifetime? No. Look what we've done to it. But God is way bigger and way more able to provide beyond your limited thinking. And that's the problem, is the way that we think. See, because he devised this incredible plan to empty himself, become a human, so that he would know what you're going through. Oh yeah, I know what you're going through because I've been there. I know what it's like to be where you are because I have been there. And this is how you get through, full of grace and truth. So he knows what it's like to be you. Better than you know what it's like to be you. And he knows exactly what you need because he's been you. So then he offers this crazy invitation for us to be brought back in perfect relationship with the Father. He gave us his blood, which cleanses us, sanctifies us, and makes us holy. You're holy because his blood has cleaned you. He hasn't just covered your sin. He has removed your sin from you. And you have gone through the proper ceremonial ritual to be a holy vessel set apart for God's use. And that is Jesus sanctifying you by indwelling you. So he gives you his approval because he's made you a joint heir with his son. His son has chosen to raise you with him. And that means that we have been given the same authority that he has, the same position with the Father that Jesus has, we have. Now, you're not the Messiah. You weren't the firstborn from the dead. You weren't the chosen one to die for the sin of the world, and maybe a couple of other things, but just about in every other way, you're just like Jesus. You're a child of God. So he gives us this invitation that by faith we come back into right relationship with the Father through his blood. He sends his spirit into our hearts and bonds himself with us. He promises every single promise that he's ever made to anybody to us. He's given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and heaven is in you. So every blessing that God has for you is already in you spiritually. I mean, is this good news yet? Then he says, okay, my spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will remind you what I've told you. And Jesus told us everything that the Father told him. There's nothing that was revealed to Jesus that Jesus is not willing to reveal to us as long as our heart's in the place to hear it. He's not waiting for the right time. It's just we won't let him in. So he's in our spirit, but are we going to let him in our heart? And that's the thing that I think is missing from the gospel teaching. And you guys are all sitting here in Huntsville, so you get it, right? You get the heart teaching. But I think that's the missing element. It's great that we know the legal tenets of the new covenant. But are we going to stop there? Or are we going to show the world, no, here's how you actually walk this stuff out. You get your heart set toward him. You tend the garden of your heart through biblical meditation. And like Jim said, there's so many different facets to it that you find what works for you and you walk this stuff out, right? So he's given us his spirit. He's sealed us with the promise, given us eternal life. His spirit is inside of us, constantly giving life to our physical bodies. So it's not just spiritual, it's physical as well. He leads you and guides you into all truth, and he shows you things to come. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When John 14:15-16, he's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's all relational. So not only does he do all of this, he brings us to this place of deep connection, deep sense of identity, deep sense of ownership of everything that Jesus has received. In Hebrews 1, we see that Jesus inherited all things. He's given a name above all names, and we are joint heirs with Jesus. Right? I mean, what is wrong with us? I mean, if we could just go back through that entire list of all of those things that are true about us, why are we not living in that stuff? Why are we not experiencing every promise that he has like Jesus? Now, I'm not trying to get you to search your heart for lack. This is not the point where you go and you start asking, what's wrong with me? Because there's only one thing wrong with you. The way we think. That's really it. I mean, think about that. Go back just for a minute. Think about that. The Spirit of God is in me. Every single spiritual blessing that God will ever have for me is already in me. There's nothing out there that I have to go get. He is reminding me steadily like water. Here, this is how I see God. I see our hearts as like this big dam. And God is behind it. And it's like a flood. It is just a wellspring of water, the Spirit of God inside of us. And our heart has got these walls around it. But from the inside, if we start chipping that wall away, man, that water comes in. That life comes in. The Spirit of God will go in where you let him go in. And the thing that I so value about the focus on the heart is it puts the responsibility squarely where it should be, and that is on our shoulders, not to do it, but to believe it and watch it manifest in our lives. So when he goes through Mark 4 and he says, this is the most important parable I want to teach you. And in fact, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand all of them. And heart physics is built on it. Is that the condition of your heart determines the degree of the kingdom you're going to experience in your life. And you can affect the condition of your heart by your intention. What, you know, all the stuff that we know, this is a good crowd because I don't have to go back and give all the backstory. So you know what I'm talking about. So we're set in this place to do nothing but succeed because all of heaven is right here leading you, cheering you on, ready to manifest into your life whatever you need in that moment because he is your wisdom. All it takes is we trust God. This is what I do in my church. I point to the wall, and eventually we're going to do it. We're going to put a sign up there that says, trust God. Because that's really all it comes down to. Do you trust him or do you not trust him? I appreciate what Alan was saying because it's got to be simple. So in addition to all of that truth, all of this crazy wealth of spiritual blessing that we have inside of us, we try to figure out, okay, how do I do it? How do I get it to work? How do I make it happen? You know, you can't do spirit. You can't even really do spiritual things. Now, I'm going to kind of philosophize here for a minute. That's a word, right? Jimmy's, no. I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not.
You got it.
You got it, okay. That's a Georgia word. We've been given the mind of Christ. Well, I'm not so sure that we are supposed to use our intellect, our brain, to think. I don't think we're supposed to use our brain to think. Think about that for a minute. See, because what your brain's going to do is it's going to look out here. You know the truth inside, right? I mean, you've got it in your word. You've got it in your pocket. You've got 1,800 different translations on your iPhone. I mean, it's everywhere, you know. You walk through Jim's house and there's crosses and scriptures and things everywhere. And I'm like, man, I need to get more spiritual in my house. I got to hang stuff on my wall. But it's just a flood of God coming at us. But what we do is we use these brains, we use our intellect to filter all of this stuff that's coming out here. And we make judgments. We make decisions. We choose based on what we think is possible for us based on whatever it is we base it on. Your past, what your mama told you, what you're seeing, what CNN says, what happened in Israel, whatever. I mean, all that stuff's important, but does it define you? Does it determine what's possible for you? No. So why do we let that stuff? I'm not saying ignore it. I mean, sometimes I want to throw my television out the window, but we have to realize, no, what we need to do is be spiritually minded. Because anything else is death. Anything that opposes that list that I ran through just a little while ago will produce death in your life. Anything that opposes the truth of what Jesus accomplished in your life, if you give it enough time, if you give it enough real estate up here, it'll produce death. It will rob away from you the word that the Spirit of God is sowing into your heart, and it's an automatic process. You know, you don't even think about it. That's the thing. I finally figured out that after being here for 6 years, that I don't really have to do anything to my heart. I just have to position it to believe the truth. And it's going to do what it's going to do. It's going to let the Spirit of God through if I'm going to put it in the right position, or it's going to block the Spirit of God if I set myself opposed to His Word. And usually the way that we do that is not even necessarily in our behavior. I can tell you guys are a bunch of no-sinning, perfect people in this place. It just has everything to do with what are you going to let in. So if we've been given the mind of Christ, this goes back to that philosophy part. You know, I was thinking that maybe we should just figure out how to let God teach us. Maybe we should live in this place where every day we remind ourselves who we are, what He's done, everything that is happening from His Spirit toward us in this moment right now, and let that happen. See, because we have the mind of Christ. We have the thinking capacity, the emotional fortitude, the reasoning capacities that Christ does. But what we do is we flip over into carnal intellect and we reason steps. You know, you maybe just reason one little step away from the truth. That's the most dangerous place to be, because you're close enough to the truth that it looks like you're still in the truth. And I'm telling you, that's probably one of the most frustrating things, because this is the last stop. Once you get to where you actually understand the gospel, you understand that you're engrafted into this new covenant and grace is not working for you. I've seen it, you know, Jim's probably seen it multiple times. People just, that's like the last nail. And if you find yourself in that place, it's a very easy transition back. Take the expectations back off of yourself and ask yourself, what is true of Jesus? Because that is what's true of me. As He is, so are we in this world right now. I probably learned this here. We are showing some video courses of the school in our church. And, you know, I'll go and I'm like, yeah, I've been through all this, but I'm going to go hang out and fellowship with the people. And I end up taking notes again. He's like, man, that's really good. And then he'll say something. And I'm like, I just preached that last month. I thought that was mine. So if we have the mind of Christ, maybe we can just put ourselves in this position where we actually believe that the Holy Spirit will teach us and let Him lead us and guide us. Let Him transform us, because that's the key, right? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Most of this happens on a non-intellectual level where you don't even know that it's happening. But we've been shot out to think that we've got to make it happen, or how do I get this stuff to be true for me, or what's the key, right? If Jesus has been given the keys to the kingdom and He's given me those keys, I need a key to get the kingdom to work. So what we do is like, I'm going to run down to the bookstore and I'm going to find this key, okay? I don't have prosperity working in my life, so what's the key that I need to do to get prosperity working? That's where we go with it. Where the keys are authority. We're never supposed to sectionalize this stuff. So back to this mind of Christ idea. Is there anything that Christ does not know? Is there anything that surprises Jesus? Is Jesus worried about the future? Does He know what's going on in your kids' lives? Okay, we have the mind of Christ. What if we wake up and we choose, I'm going to live life yielded to the Spirit of God in the mind of Christ, and I'm not going to use my intellect to think. I'm going to let the Spirit teach me this knowledge that's spiritual, that rises up out of my heart, because I'm going to make sure my heart is right toward Him in that it's believing the truth. And I will walk in the mind of Christ. You're like, how do you do that? I don't know. He'll have to teach you. Nobody can teach you how to hear God. But I mean, what if we stopped using our intellect? I understand, you know, you have to wake up, you have to decide what you're going to eat for breakfast, you got to go to work, you got to punch the buttons and whatever it is you got to do. But the spiritual aspect of experiencing the benefits of being in this new covenant, the spiritual blessings becoming a reality in our lives, most of the times we just set them aside, and then we think, oh yeah, that healing thing, I'm supposed to have that healing thing, so let me focus on that for a minute. What if somehow we can set our minds and our hearts toward Him, fully persuaded, fully yielded to, fully consumed, and fully influenced by this indwelling Spirit that will teach us to think like Jesus thinks, that will teach us to think like heaven, that will teach us and remind us, like He said, everything that He's ever told us in the past. Everything that God ever told Jesus has been revealed to us in our spirits. And the Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to let Him into your heart so that He can teach you about life. He can teach you exactly where you need to go. That's what it's talking about when it talks about His laws are written on our hearts. Used to be you'd look at a stone tablet, say, okay, that's what I need to do. Now, what you need to do, how you should follow God, the best way to live, it's already part of you. It is natural for you to follow God perfectly. It's perfectly natural for you to follow God perfectly. It's who you are. It's what you are. It's what He's done in you. It's what He's trying to lead you into. There's really nothing else other than, man, how can I stop limiting Him? How can I stop using my reasoning capacities to disqualify myself? Because this is where a lot of us are, is that, you know, we've been frustrated, we've been disappointed, we put our hearts out there, we tried to believe, and it didn't happen. Forget the why. Only go back to, what does He want for me? I know sometimes it's hard to try to believe again. I get that. It's hard to really, do I really want to go there with this again? Do I really want to try to believe God for that again? I mean, I know some of you. I know what some of you have been through. And it's not easy to open up your heart to trust God in that area again. But you've got a comforter. You have a perfect teacher, and you have the mind of Christ that is within you if you would just yield to it. Sound like a deal? Father, we thank You that we can trust You. We thank You that You are for us. We thank You that You have brought us into Your family. We thank You that as we come before You, there is more grace than we can ever need. There is more power inside of us than we will ever need to conquer anything we face. We yield our minds and our hearts to You, to be taught by You, to walk in this mind of Christ that You've given us. We know that we are in spirit because Christ is in us. We don't have to get in spirit. It's in us already. We just have to let it out. So, Father, in this moment, I make the decision. And if you just make this decision today, Lord, I trust that You know how to lead me. And I will stop limiting You and let You lead me. Amen.